name, they call me Warlord. My mother calls me Paul. You can call me Private Warren when you're filing your report. As to how I came to be here, this is what I understand. In this hospital in Germany, from the dust of Ura's gang.
You just turned 28, just bought a new car, when you joined the 1st Battalion of the big 1RAR. We were next up for deployment into South Afghanistan to combat the insurgents and the dust of Ura's gang.
Yeah, Lee Kernaghan and Fred Smith there with the dust of Ura's gang. Well, on Anzac Day, we gather at dawn and we bow our heads in reverence to the fallen. And then for most of us, it's over. But for the other 364 days of the year, there are men and women across Australia who can never quite get war and all it means out of their heads, who are wounded in ways that they and their families have to face every day. And some of those people are artists. They paint, they sculpt, they make photos. Now a bloke named Mark Johnston is pushing to establish a veterans art museum. He even has a home marked out for it, a grand and lovely Art Deco building that's been vacant for a couple of decades and which is known in good military style as 310SKR. Mark, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Michael.
Nice to have you here. So we should talk about your own background first. What's your own background?
I spent some time in Melbourne in school, but then went off to join the Army, and I was in the Army for 12 years.
Yep.
And served around Australia and did some time overseas in the peace monitoring mission in Bougainville before I left the Army in about 2000 and moved down to Melbourne with my family.
Right. And why are you so fired up about this?
This cause around veterans arts is really about the quality of life and well-being of veterans and their families. And for many veterans, they have been touched in one way or another through loss of some form. And for me, it's both the suicide amongst the veteran community, but also quite personally, friends that I know have suffered in various ways. And one in particular is a terrific friend from my time at RMC Duntroon. And he was badly injured in a vehicle accident in the mid-90s, and he's been totally blind ever since, so since 1995. And for me, and to be able to support people like him, and it pains me to say that I cannot yet support this man in a way that allows me to channel him into creative outcomes.
Yeah.
And there are many others like that we're trying to support.
So you've got a lot of faith in the use of art as a therapy. You both want to display art in this museum and also to make it a sort of centre for art therapy. And I know that the work you've done already has just been recognised in the Vic Health Awards last night. What happened there?
Well, that was tremendous. Earlier this year, we held our inaugural art exhibition titled A March to Art, Identity, which was a collection of 18 veterans and family members exhibiting on Collins Street here in Melbourne. And that was grounded in the realisation or the message that identity is central to the well-being of veterans and their families. And it ultimately goes to the heart of, or part of the issue around suicide.
And what do you mean by identity when you say that? What are we talking about?
The identity of an individual in terms of who I am, what do I represent, what are my values. And so for people still in uniform in the military, it's pretty clear for the vast majority of them who their identity is. But when you leave the military and take off that uniform, you've ostensibly left that family and you're on your own. You still have your family, most likely. But what do you do? What do you represent? Who are you? And the identity message is it's in the hand of the veterans themselves and their families, of course, to create their own identity. And there have been countless veterans in the past who have done that through art.
Mm. So you want to establish this National Australian Art Museum. at a place called 310 SKR, which actually stands for 310 St Kilda Road.
That's right.
In Melbourne. But the military call it 310 SKR because that's the kind of thing the military like to do. So for 20 years, this extraordinarily beautiful Art Deco building right alongside the old military headquarters there in the beautiful blue stone building, the Victoria Barracks, this building has been empty.
That's right, yeah. So
you've put your hand up and said, oh, well, I can use that. Give it to me, please.
Yes, well, when we discovered it over 4 years ago, the person who took us through it said, if you can come up with an idea for this, then see how you go.
The trouble is we've now broadcast it across the nation and everyone's thinking, ooh, what could I do with some real estate in St Kilda Road, Melbourne?
I have no doubt. But the history of this particular building is that it was made for veterans and made for veterans' wellbeing as a repatriation clinic. And given that it's next to an operating military base, it's across the road from the Shrine of Remembrance, and it's within the Melbourne Art Precinct and very accessible to the CBD of Melbourne, what better use for it than a Veterans Arts Museum?
You've just created a Venn diagram that puts you at the centre of the cosmos. You can't lose. Let's talk some more about art therapy. Also with us is Dr. Patricia Fenner, who runs the master's degree course in art therapy in the Department of Public Health at La Trobe University, which is in Melbourne. Patricia, welcome.
Thanks, Michael.
Now, look, in the 1980s, I interviewed a lot of First World War veterans for a history project I was doing, and only one or two of them, it seemed to me, thrived in war. I mean, there were people who loved war and who talked about it with great relish. Most of the blokes I spoke to talked about the horrors which they'd seen and cried. You know, I was a young man who'd spent a lot of time weeping with old men. And they often said to me, look, I've never talked about this stuff before, not even to my mates, about the terror and the horror they'd seen. What do you how could we make sense of, or how, give us a sense of what do you think is the proportion of men and women who come back from war with those kinds of demons? Is it most? Is it some? What do you think is the situation, Patricia?
Well, I think lived experience of trauma of any kind will impact on absolutely everybody who engages in conflict, combat-related conflict, whether they survive, they come out of that with a diagnosable trauma-related illness like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder is another thing. People adapt and cope with situations very differently. But the relevance of dealing with such a significant event in any person's life who's gone into a combat zone, I think, can be applied across the board.
What do you reckon, Mark? I mean, my grandpa was on the Somme. And he just seems to have come home and wiped the blood and mud off his trousers and got on with his life, whereas I've known other people in my family who wrestled with demons all their lives.
Well, it's important in my role that I never presume, Michael, to apply a label to anyone. As a veteran presents to me, I'll take them as is and try and channel them into a pathway that puts them on the road to a better place. In terms of numbers, there are statistics the Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Defence have. I don't know them off the top of my head, but it's not overwhelming, but it is a growing number. The Vietnam veterans, I think, are probably a bit of a standout in society today in terms of the numbers of Vietnam veterans who have been impacted adversely by their service. But it's a very difficult thing to say.
Hard to put a number on. All right. So, Patricia, this idea that art can be a therapy, just talk me through this. Because I can see that going to an art class would be a calming thing and an enjoyable process to go through. But the question I want to ask is, does it have a long-term benefit, or are you just spending a calm afternoon doing some painting? Do people walk out of that room, you know, after a time, after going through some kind of therapy, and actually show a long-term benefit?
Look, I think you have to think of it from a couple of perspectives, Michael. There's the kind of effect of using art materials in the immediate moment. We know from early stages of research that there is a beneficial effect to stress levels for just using art materials in very simple ways. And we also know that it induces a desire to keep doing that. The longer term effects probably are more attached to what meaning it creates for the person who's doing the work. One's the more mechanical side of things. The other component is what sense is this creating for me in my world, the work that I'm actually doing.
So that question Mark was asking before about who am I now?
That's
now the war
right.
is over. Who am I in the world?
Very relevant. The notion of identity underpins probably, you could say, all art making and art therapy related to trauma, because whether it's combat related or another kind of trauma, there's a fracturing of identity, who I was before, who I am now. And that needs to be attended to. It doesn't just fall back into place for many people. So art is one of those areas that permits a gentle, slow recreation of meaning, making sense of what's happened, because sometimes meaning can't be made, and actually forming a post-event identity. I think that's really important. And I'd like to add to that, there's also a neurological element to this without getting too technical, but art making bypasses verbal processing. We know that in the brain, and it creates access to parts of the brain where emotion and imagery are activated. And this makes it a much more palatable way to actually engage with internal kind of processing than talking.
How strong is the research that shows that?
Look, I think in the neuroscience, this is well accepted, what I've just talked about. Art therapy itself is developing the evidence on a larger scale for its own processes. But trauma researchers internationally certainly back up the neurological side of things.
Now, Mark, we've explained that this museum that you want to open would run these kind of services. There would be therapy there. It would be a place to come to. And this building was built to look after veterans in exactly this kind of way. It would also be a museum displaying art, so you'd have to get your hands on some art. You've got to put something on the wall, mate. What are you going to show?
Absolutely. Well, veterans, we've already established quite a collection. So our inaugural exhibition, we've attempted to retain the vast majority of that, which is just terrific, both for the veterans or the artists themselves, the veteran artists as we call them, whether they're family members, and ourselves to establish that initial collection. We can't go too overboard until we actually have a facility like 310 SKR to store it.
Yes.
But we also have a tremendous national collection, like in the State Library, the War Memorial, the National Galleries of Victoria and Australia, and other places, private collections. The contribution of Australian veterans to the Australian cultural landscape is extraordinary, and we really want to bring that out into daylight.
So there are some big names who've
Absolutely.
Been veterans. Just run some by us.
On the $10 note, Banjo Patterson was a writer of some note. He was a major in World War I. Sidney Nolan, Arthur Streeton, Clifton Pugh, to name a few.
Sidney Nolan didn't like the army, though.
He turned up on the day to put on the uniform, Michael, and he served.
Yeah. Albert Tucker, he's another one.
Oh, absolutely. And many of those are Melbourne boys as well.
Yeah.
And some lesser known ones, but probably I call him the grandfather of veterans arts, was a Melbourne boy, Napier Waller. He has no less than 11 public art installations around Melbourne.
Yeah. Came back from World War I minus an arm.
Correct. Yes.
And learned to paint all over again with his wrong hand.
That's right.
Yeah, extraordinary story. Yeah, Patricia, as we wind up.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind just adding to that we should. It's worth paying attention to the fact that people view these works and the impact this has in relation to educating the public about this role that people play in the army and other related fields. Art can be a therapeutic engagement purely by viewing as well. It may not be art therapy in the technical sense, but it's definitely therapeutic. And there's a public health message there.
Yeah, and it tells the rest of us a story that we need to hear.
Can help reduce stigma.
Just as we wind up, Mark, briefly, who needs to be convinced of this? For you to get the building, basically.
We're currently waiting for the state government to make a decision as to whether they'd like to take it off the federal government. And so I implore the Premier, Daniel Andrews, to give us an answer. That'd be just terrific.
Right. So it's in his in-tray.
I'd like to think so, yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you to the two of you for coming in. It's such an interesting topic, this. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael.
Appreciate your time.
Mark Johnson is a serviceman, ex-serviceman, who is driving a campaign to establish an Australian National Veterans Art Museum. And Dr. Patricia Fenner runs the master's degree course in arts therapy in the Department of Public Health at La Trobe University. I'd love to know what you think of this. You can talk to us on Facebook. You'll find all the details there on our website.